Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, folks, a special edition here of Kranz's Corner. You know, I love talking to the sports guys and I like digging into why the Dolphins suck every year and all that, but I like talking to funny guys, and I try to label myself as a funny guy once in a while, but I really got a funny guy on here right now. If you're watching the video, you see him already. If you're listening to the pod, you'll know in a second. Joe Gatto's going to be here for just a couple minutes with me. I know he's on a time constraint, so we're going to get right into it. But understand this. He's going to be down here January 19th in South Florida at the Parker Playhouse, for those who know, in Fort Lauderdale, in the Let's Get Into It tour. I'm very excited for this. Very excited to talk to the guy. First off, Joe, welcome to Kranz's Corner to start
off. Thank you, buddy. Thanks for putting me in the corner. Nobody puts Kranz in the corner except Kranz himself.
That's exactly right. I've had everyone in here, and that's basically the start to everything. Welcome to my corner. Now you're never leaving at this point.
I love it.
I got to start with this. From one so-called funny guy to a real funny guy here, how did you get into comedy and why? Like, how did that happen?
It was kind of like accidental. I really just, I came from a big Italian family, always lots of laughing, lots of fun, you know how that is. And, funny uncles, my parents are great. Very funny as well. But then I went to an all-boy school in high school, and I was getting bullied a little bit freshman, sophomore year. And I used comedy a little bit as a defense mechanism. I remember there was one of the football players. I knocked the books out of his hands, and I told him to pick them up. And he went, "Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Gatto." And he, like, picked them up. It was like a funny reverse bullying thing that got established. Like, he started giving me piggyback rides to class. Like, he was carrying me like he was a big linebacker. Really fun thing. And it was just, like, really funny to be able, like, oh, it's fun to laugh together and stuff. And that just planted the seed. Of course, I met the boys there, and we started to make the world laugh together. And it, selfishly, it was like fun to do, but also I'd heard from people like how important it was to laugh, and you know, it was great to be able to be that for people. And I just continued through it, and you know, struck lightning in a bottle with Impractical Jokers, and got to be able to spend a decade making my friends laugh for a living. And it was great. I just lived to make people laugh. It's really a blessing.
No, it's amazing. I think you just solved the bullying problem for America, by the way. In that, if anyone's listening or watching this, it's important. Just cut that clip and boom, we just solved everything. Right.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Listen, Kranz's Corner, informative and funny at the same time. We're trying our best here. Live shows. Obviously, you're going to be on the Parker January 19th. You talked about your start with Impractical Jokers a little bit with the boys in school.
Yep.
But the live show experience is so different than taping a show, than taping your comedy special. We're going to get into that in a second. Anything can happen. This is not scripted. This is you going on stage. I know you got your notes and you know where you're going to go and maybe different directions. But the whole shebang of having that live audience, how much fun is that for someone who does like to make people laugh?
Oh, it's the best, man. I'm a true believer, and I think this was a lot of the success with me and the boys. I've been performing live, you know, forever, since 99 with the guys. Stand-up has taken me to do it solo, but I always believe that if you're having fun on stage, people cannot help but have fun watching someone have fun. So I always try to make my event, it's like an event. Like, I get out there, bring the energy, have a good time. I want the vibe to be, you know, forget about all the BS outside. Let's laugh together for at least an hour. And, just have a good time with people that are like-minded. You know, people are all fans of me. You have date nights that come in. You have families that come in. You have some people that come by themselves and make friends. Like, it's crazy. Everybody that comes through. And I think that's really important, just to be like, make a safe space. Everybody come out and just laugh, and you know, because laughter really is important. I've been through some tough times, we all have, you know, so I've definitely leaned on comedy, and I like to be that for people. I think it's really, really cool to be able to do that for people.
Your first couple seconds on stage at any event, do you look at the front row to get if you need that guy or that woman or that couple or those people? Because I listen, I'm the fat guy, okay?
Yep,
I go to the club, and I specifically, even if I know the people, down here at the Dania Beach Improv and all these places, I know
that
stuff.
Yeah, I love improv, yeah.
I will 100% say, hey, if you can get me good seats, that's fine, but not the front row. Like, I don't want to be the fat guy in the front row. Like,
of course.
I just don't want to be that guy. And people love that. I don't. And I kind of like being the guy in the corner,
Yeah.
But do you see that? Do you kind of eye that out first? I know that you got your beginning going, but just in case that little crutch, if you need it, is it there?
Yeah, I'm not afraid to talk to a crowd, but I don't really do a crowd work. I'm not like a where you from, what do you do kind of guy, right, but I will talk about when I come to a town. I'm not one of the comics who's just like, you know, I don't sit in my hotel room waiting for showtime. Like, I grab a donut and a coffee, walk down Main Street, hang out, you know, get to talk to fans and have an experience. So I'll start the show by talking a little bit about that, which is always fun. And then if something happens, like I've had plenty of shows where something happens and you can't help but ignore it, like you'll hear, like, there was this one show I had it was one of those theaters that where there's no break in the middle. So it's one of those long, you know. So a woman like went to get popcorn. She was carrying this popcorn bucket. I could see her. And she was like, excuse me, through everybody. And then she forgot something. She was like, oh. And she started walking back. I was like, turn the lights on. And we turned. I was like, ma'am. I said, what's going on? And we all like left. I was like, you know what? I don't want you to miss anything. We'll wait. And she left. And then I told everybody, I said, when she comes back in, let's give her a standing ovation. So she came in and 2,000 people got up and started clapping. And she was like, oh. It's really, really funny and sweet. That's so, like, things good. Like that I'll do, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think that's fun. I think it's fun when you're in a show like that. You want the interaction. I think it's cool.
I mean, the Daniel Beach Improv is probably one of my favorite improvs that I've ever performed. I've been there a couple times. And as I'm working out new content for my theater shows, I go to, comedy clubs to work it out. But, like, that was in comedy clubs, you're a little bit closer together. You can't help but notice, you know, the couple up front.
Somebody gets up or something like that. Right, of course. All right. Messing with People, recorded live at the Paramount, awesome place, Long Island, of course. That's a perfect place for you to do that there. I know that I've seen some other interviews you do with some of the boys have showed up or have come to some of the events and this and that. But how much fun was that for you? Because that, I would imagine, for you was fun once it was done, recorded, everything put together. But getting a little bit ready for that, there's got to be a little bit of those nerves going through your system there, because this is going to be your special. We want to make sure it goes good, and I want to make sure I put my best act up there. But little nervous getting into that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's something that just stands in time. But I mean, the flip of it was worse, right? Because then it was like, it was over. I was like, do I want to make this a special? And then it was like, I just don't want it to go away. It's 2.5 years of my life, especially at a big transition in my life. I'm like, this is a moment in time I'm really going to want to have. So when I put it out, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to put it out there. I'll put it on YouTube, because people don't necessarily know me as a comic. So it's cool to see, you know, people, the fandom, find me as a stand-up or find new fans, through it. So it was a very cool experience for sure. And it helped me build my second hour. And, you know, this new tour, Let's Get Into It, I feel is like better than, you know, the last one. And I was like, well, it's supposed to be that way. You know, you're supposed to get better at what you do. And, but I really find that like, this is more of like a story, which is good. Like, Messing with People is more of an introduction to me, if you didn't necessarily, you know why I love to mess with people. But this really is like, with the Let's Get Into It tour, I talk about the development of a person, like looking at myself, how I started as like a geeky kid. And now I'm this loud, boisterous comic, you know, and the journey throughout. I used to make tests for my father when I was like, open up the encyclopedia, make multiple choice exams for him, which is crazy. Like, he would come home from his work and I hit him with a pop quiz.
Just what he wanted. Yeah.
I was his only son. He's like, can't you just be a real boy, Pinocchio? Like, pick up a ball, would you? You know, but, you know, so it's interesting to think about that. And I'm a dad now too. So I talk about that. You know, I got my two kids and I'm their father. So, sorry about that, kids, you know, it's cool to talk about these kind of things now.
All right, let me go through the two-part checklist right here that every interviewer is going to ask you.
I got you. Yes, we're still friends. No, I'm not going back to the show.
All right, checked and checked. Okay, good. We got those out of the way. I just want to get, by the way, it's a hysterical show. Like, I know that you know that because I see it all. It cannot not be on my TV. It's on my TV. Like, there's an Impractical Jokers Network, I think, on my TV at some point. Whenever I'm looking through it, my wife just falls asleep. The dog's sleeping on my feet. My kid is snoring in my ear. Yeah. I'm looking for something to watch. Impractical Jokers, let's go. I'm fine with that. Let's ride out with that. So good. Checklist done. Okay. How was your time on that? Like, how much did you enjoy that working with your buddies anyway?
It's the best thing in the world, man. Yeah, unbeatable, literally. Like, you know, it's such a great legacy to be a part of. I'm so proud of the shows that I was part of for that. You know, 9.5 seasons, over 300 episodes of TV. Wow. It was just, like, really great to do and pour so much love and energy into that, you know. And then use it as a springboard to do other things that I've always wanted to do in the industry. You know, my fans are the best. They follow me along, you know. They found me funny. I had the benefit of being myself on that show. Yeah. I wasn't playing a character. So some people, I really, you know, if you got me on that show, you get me on stage. You know, you come see me live, that's the same guy you laughed at on TV, just doing a different type of thing. And, you know, even with all my projects, like my kids' book I just released, Where's Barry? People have bought that and bring it, like, to the meet and greets. I signed it for them. It's really cool to see, be part of, like, story time to these families now, which is really, really cool thing. Being a dad, like, you know, I read stories to my kids. That's why I wrote the book. And it was like, you know, to be on the bookshelf in these people's homes now. And it started when they were, you know, watching me at, you know, 17 years old. And now their families, they're, you know, reading to their kids these books that I've written. It's just a really surreal thing.
Yeah, that's really cool. I was going to ask you all about that. Like, how the hell did that happen? Were you just writing a children's book? But I think you pretty answered that pretty well. You're being a dad now.
Yeah, that's exactly you wrote it.
Things changed,
like,
right?
I had a story. Right. I had a story that I wanted to tell, and it's like a fun little story about, you know, my son lost his stuffy, and any parent knows that's a complete catastrophe at bedtime.
Disaster.
Yeah, so he had to go find it because he was playing hide and seek with it, and he hid it under a pot in the cabinet underneath the sink. I never would have found it, so thank God he found it, you know?
Right.
So it was just a really cool story. It got illustrated. It was fun to see it come to life,
right?
You know, because it was such a cool process. I didn't draw it. You know, this guy Luke Flowers drew it. Who's a great illustrator. Like I was
you
like,
could have taken credit for it. We would have given you credit for that.
You know, I literally
get that out of the podcast. Right,
cut that. Say right, I drew it. Yeah, like it's like I literally handed over like a Word document with just words on paper, and he brought this whole thing to life, and it was like, wow. And then to see my son see himself as a cartoon is just nuts. You know, it was really, really cool.
Right. That's awesome. That's a really cool thing there. All right. Podcasting wise, we're here now. Let's talk about it. Your second season of the podcast, Two Cool Moms.
Yes.
Great title for that. I mean, the great best. Title. How much fun do you have doing podcasting? Because listen, I did morning drive radio for 22 years in Miami, morning drive, afternoon drive. And then I stopped and just did the digital side, what we're doing now, started the podcast, started doing this, making my own hours, the whole deal. I love doing it because it's my own thing now, but it was just amazing getting and transitioning into it, how much I love it now. I was wondering how you like it, how much you love podcasting.
It's such a great format because it's such a good – if you have somebody to have a fun conversation with, there's not many people I like to talk to as much as Steve Byrne, my co-host. Like, he is so interesting. He's done so much. He's you know, we're very similar in a lot of ways and very different in others, you know. So it's a really cool dynamic him and I have. You know, we started this podcast. Our first version of it was called Yin Yang Parmesan. We just talked about anything and everything. And then we started talking about our mom so much because he has a really strong mother.
Right.
My mom was a huge influence in my life. And we just like started realizing that like we are those people for our friend groups, the ones that come for our advice, our sounding boards, and for each other. Like when I was going through a tough time, he was my boy. He's been through some stuff and we talked. So we just realized like that's the way it is. So the format of the kind of just found itself, you know. We talk about anything and everything as comedians. And then the second half of the pod, we jump into fan submitted dilemmas and try to help people as best we can fix their lives as two strangers from the internet. You know, but it's good, man. It's good. And then we partnered up with iHeart, who I love. I'm a, you know, New York guy, Z100 I grew up with, you know, Elvis Duran. I'm on the Elvis Duran podcast network. He's become a very good friend of mine. And I grew up with him. You know, I love him. He's such a great dude. And, you know, he's big in a dog rescue like I am. We have a lot of, you know, we've, you know, just grown up with them. So it's really nice to become, you know, it's been a really nice progression. I just did the whole Jingle Ball tour with them. I was at all the Jingle Balls, Chicago, Detroit. I was down in Miami. You know, it was like, it was really, really fun to do all those shows and be part of that as well.
Well, the dog stuff I was going to bring up anyway, because I'm a big dog guy. I know you are also. Before I even ask you what you're doing with that, can you just tell me the names of your dogs one time here for the podcast?
Well, right in the room right now, I have Chestnut, Spumoni, and Biscotti with me. But then we also have, you know, Cannoli, Tartufo, Napoleon, Cupcake, Strufola, the brother and sister Fettuccine Alfredo. you know, we got them all. We got French Fry, you know, Grits. We got them all. So, yeah, they're all just named after mostly Italian desserts and pastries and pasta dishes. And the rescue is called Gatto Pups and Friends. We run it out of here in New York. It's a senior dog rescue.
Awesome.
And I think we just adopted out 136th dog.
Awesome.
Yesterday, which is so great, you know.
That is so great. My dog's names are Matzo Ball, a gefilte fish. You could just imagine what, you know, where I come from, my heritage at this point. Matzo Ball, gefilte fish, and Hanukkah was the last one that we had.
we had a bonded pair that we called Meat and Ball. We had Meatball.
See, I love that kind of, that's such great stuff there. Parker Playhouse, January 19th, the Let's Get Into It tour. By the way, get on YouTube also, Messing With People, the first ever, you know, go watch. You have to watch these specials to understand Joe and then get it, but you have to go to a live show too. I just think it's so much fun when you see somebody live and you're out there and you get to interact, not even interact where someone's yelling at you on stage, but maybe you see somebody or you just have the time of your life for a couple, like
Joe said. Yeah, in a room laughing with people.
Right, get out for an hour.
Yeah.
Get out for an hour and do it. January 19th at the Parker. I'll end with this and I'll let you go. How much fun do you have doing comedy when you go home at night, when you're done with the day? I know, listen, people are out there selling insurance and bankers and selling cars and doing. I'm lucky to be doing this. I never worked a day in my life. I went from college to sports radio to podcasting. I've never worked a day in my life. I don't know what it's like. My wife does sales and she's up all night doing it. I don't even know what that's like. You do comedy, something I love more than anything. How much fun do you have doing it?
I was just talking this with my opener, Mark Jagardian, very funny guy who opens for me and is on me, with me on the road. He's actually a Florida boy too. He and I, we were just complaining about how we can't go to sleep after the show. You know, like
the adrenaline. Right.
I do the meet and greets after the show. I'm talking to all these people, hearing all their stories. You know, it's such a nice thing. And like, you know, you go back to the hotel room, you're like, okay, now what? You just sit there and you scroll, you write a little bit, you try to fall asleep, you toss and turn, and before you know it, it's like 1 a.m. I'm like, I gotta go to sleep. Right. You know, so it's the greatest job in the world. It's not lost on me that I'm there for people to make them laugh, and that's my purpose. So I do my best as I can, and I'm very fortunate and blessed to have the life I have.
That's awesome, Joe. That is truly awesome. Love the stuff with the dogs. Love your stuff in general. Like, you're a good guy, decent man. And the checklist was done for anyone out there listening. Still friends, no reunion. Every once in a while, you might see them on the street. Don't think anything of it. They're buddies, okay? Just relax out there. Relax out there.
Yeah, and for my cousins, like me and Q were, you know, he came out. We had lunch or whatever, and somebody saw us together. They're like, oh, you guys are together? I'm like, yeah, he's my friend. Like, right. We literally went and got lunch.
Right. Got TMZ outside taking pictures. We have a reunion coming.
I mean, I've always said, you know, I love collaborating with those guys. They're unbelievable. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if something else comes down the line. You know, I think my time with Jokers is done, but I mean, they're my best friends and I've always had so much fun making stuff with them. So I wouldn't be surprised if something came of that.
Right. And listen, we'll all take it if it comes and we'll wait. And instead we'll just go to your stuff when you have your stuff. Like for I sure. said, Parker Playhouse.
We're still out here doing it. We're still out here doing it.
There's still everyone's doing their thing. It doesn't matter at this point. Everyone's making people laugh. That's all I'm at. We need to laugh more in this world at this point. Anyway, sure. At the Parker Playhouse, January 19th. Let's get into it. Tour. Joe Gatto here with us on Krantz's Corner. Joe, thank you for your time. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for making everybody laugh. And just off the record, if a reunion does come, call me first. All right, that's Joe. Joe Gatto. Joe, thanks for coming on the corner once again.
Thanks, buddy. Be well.
All right, special edition here at Krantz's Corner with the great one, Joe Gatto.